everybody. Welcome to Older and Wiser. I'm here with my good friend, Susan Sikora, up there in Northern California. Hey, Susan, good morning.
Hey.
How are you?
Okay.
Did you see that thing about the Bernie Sanders doll for $20,000? Somebody's selling
it. I need it. Except I don't need to pay $20,000. I'm out if it's got to be $20,000. But I love it.
Yeah, that was a pretty iconic moment he had there, wasn't it?
Well, you know, first of all, it was pure Bernie.
He didn't seem to mind all the fun people were making of him in the days that followed.
Do you think he did it on purpose, or do you think it was just...
No, I don't either.
I think he wanted to be warm.
Yeah, he wanted to be warm.
Cold.
He wasn't. He didn't have a plus one, so he was socially distancing from other people, which left a little hole there for him to just sit there with his mittens and his stupid coat that he wears everywhere. That same coat.
I don't care what political party you are. That was funny.
That was
pretty
funny.
You can't laugh at that. Give it up. Give up.
Well, anyway, so this lady, she knitted this entire doll out of yarn. It was auctioned off and was donated to Meals on Wheels America.
Yeah, I think everything they've made on this iconic moment, my understanding is it went to help people who were hungry or on food lines or whatever in his home state of Vermont, where he is a senator. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he as well, he participated in some of that. He even sort of got his arms around it and started to create some product that could be sold on his website.
You have to be able to laugh at yourself. And I think as much as you don't think of him as giggly and warm and, you know, a lot of people say, oh, he's curmudgeonly. Yeah, kind of. I guess he is. But he's got a sense of humor. He can laugh at himself and fine.
Why not? It's doing good.
So he's not making a bunch of money.
It made me feel good to see that he didn't flinch about it at all. He thought it was funny and said, great, let's make some money.
Put on your mittens.
Exactly. Let's get started today.
Okay.
Talking about something we actually talked about last year, but there's a new survey out about it, and I think it's pretty interesting. New survey reveals how Americans want to be buried. And apparently some researchers at a place called Choice Mutual did a survey of 1,500 Americans asking them about how they want to exit this world, right?
What they want to happen to them after they say, so long.
Adios.
I'll be back after this.
Do I want to be put in a box? As far as I'm concerned, take the cheapest route possible.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. Cremation.
Cremation. Okay? I love cremation.
And it makes a huge difference.
Well, you know, in the old days, when I was a kid, the idea of cremation was somehow, I don't know, it was very controversial and, no one would be cremated. That's a creepy thing. Burn your body. That's awful. And only in those days, back in the 60s, only about 4% of people were cremated.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I think, first of all, the Catholic Church, being a cradle Catholic myself, the Catholic Church never used to say this was okay. But it also went the way of no meat on Fridays. And all of a sudden, it was okay. And I think a lot of it was because of the fact that they were running out of land. People were not absorbing this cost, or they were going into debt. I mean, it just got ridiculous. But mostly,
you're saying that the Catholic Church didn't approve of cremation for a long time.
Yeah, they said, you're not supposed to do that, okay? Mm. I don't think they said it was a mortal sin and you were going to go to hell if you cremated somebody. But here's my thought on this whole thing. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Everybody thinks about this as they're alive. If I say to you now, I think cremation is fine. Okay. a lot of people will say, oh, I don't want to be cremated, because what you're thinking is I'm going to be alive and someone's going to burn me.
Yeah.
When it happens, you're not going to feel it. You're dead.
You don't know. I do feel weird about people looking at my body laid out in a casket. Like, I want to make sure I look right. What if they put too much makeup on me or they made my hair funny? I would feel like it's going to creep everybody out. I don't want
that. You would
that.
What? You would feel?
That's my point.
That's my point. You know, my mother was very clear about this for years. I mean, since she was in her 60s, and she passed 3 years ago, and she was in her 90s. And she said, I don't want anybody looking at me dead.
Yeah, that's it.
Mom got it.
That's it. I don't want anybody looking at me dead.
And every now and then I say, I can lay you out in purple. I don't want anybody looking at me when I'm dead. In other words, if it was going to be a traditional funeral, it was going to be a closed casket.
Right.
And then she and I revisited it later, and she was fine with cremation. She understood it was more expedient. It was a lot. It's thousands of dollars cheaper.
I'm with Eleanor on that one. 44% of people prefer cremation these days, which is interesting how it's changed so much in the last 30 years.
Show me the money.
All about the money. And only 35% of people prefer a traditional burial. 35%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I haven't been to a traditional funeral for somebody in ages. That was April 3 years ago.
Yeah. I haven't been to a funeral since my grandmother died when I was a kid.
Yeah.
An actual in the
funeral home.
Right, in the funeral home kind of funeral. I mean, we've been to memorial services and things like that, but not an actual where the casket is there and it's all open and you're supposed to walk by and look.
When we first got out to San Francisco, Skip and I went to a number of memorial services. And as I went to more and more of them, I thought, well, this makes sense. You can have it when you can do it, as opposed to you got to do it in 3 days or whatever it is. And, you know.
Yeah. 20% of respondents want to be buried with the remains of a pet.
Oh, now that's not a bad idea. I have several pets who have been cremated.
Well, now the question is, do you bury yourself with the pet that already died, or if you die, do you have to kill the pet you have to go in the coffin with you?
No. If a pet, listen, right now I don't have a pet, but if I do get another pet, if that pet survives me, that pet lives, and I would figure out a way to figure out who's going to take care of the pet.
Yeah. When the pet finally dies, would you leave instructions to shove that pet in with you?
No, because if that pet dies after me, somebody else will be taking care of that pet, and that person will probably be the pet's new
body. Oh, got it.
I do have, a couple of pets that I could, some I buried, and I've got ashes from a couple of them, and I think Benson's could go with me.
Yeah.
And the rest could be, but with ashes, it doesn't matter. You scatter them.
Yeah, you scatter them. I know where I want to be scattered, under a tree in Franklin Canyon Park. In Los Angeles.
That's, I know
we've
where
spent
I
many
be
days there and we enjoy it. What? Where would
That's
you like
good.
To go?
I'd like to be, no one's going to do this. Maybe you'll commit to doing it for me as
sure.
a friend.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, wait a year.
Well,
it is.
I don't know.
Okay. You know,
if it has
Sir.
To do with skydiving, no.
No. Big Sur. You know, Nepenthe. Do you know Nepenthe?
Yeah, we love Nepenthe.
Love Nepenthe. Read the book. Skip got me the book a couple years ago. And I would like to be scattered off one of the balconies of Nepenthe there.
Oh, that's lovely.
I think that's just one of the most beautiful spots I've ever seen in my life anywhere.
Okay, I'll make a mental note of that. And
so you could always say, she told me where she wanted to be scattered. Take me and Benson, scatter him and then scatter me, or scatter me and then scatter him, or scatter us, whichever's easy. Just remember... Downwind,
exactly.
Make sure the wind is at your back.
Exactly. Yes. 62% of millennials want to be buried with photos of loved ones. Photos.
See, who cares?
Nice. What are you going to look at it in there? I don't see a reason to.
Again, back to my original point. You won't care. You're somewhere else. Here's my point. If there's life after death, you're not going to care. If there's no life after death, you're not going to care.
That's right. Either way, you're not going to care. That's the bottom line.
That's it.
All right.
Hopefully there's life after death and you're someplace and, you know, you're with the angels and God and all your old buddies that went before you and everything else. But, you know.
All right. Let's move on from that cheery subject to another one.
Really? How do we start off on that, Bob?
I don't know. 19 facts about old TV shows that left me saying, oh, I didn't know that. I found this in BuzzFeed. Interesting facts. And some of them are about shows that you particularly love, like one of your favorites, I Love Lucy.
All-time best, okay.
All-time best. Okay, so did you know that you know, the classic heart with the satin background?
Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
And the way the letters are written out, we assume that was the original graphic for the show, but they put that on there when the show went into reruns.
Yes.
So when the show originally aired and people were watching it for the first time.
I know what it was.
What was it?
It was Cartoon Ricky and Cartoon Lucy. It was their heads on these little almost stick bodies, not quite.
That's right. I've seen that before, but I didn't realize that was the animation from the original show when it aired originally. Did you also know that the guy who did that animation went on to create the Flintstones, and he designed Pebbles and Bam Bam on the Flintstones?
No, but if you think about the way Pebbles and Bam Bam and the Flintstones look, you could see, yeah, I could see where that might be the same artist.
Yeah, the big head, right? The big head on the little body. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it made sense. But no, I really didn't know that. I hadn't thought about it. I knew that there was a change of open, and it seemed like the older ones were the ones that came on with the animated looking, the cartoon Ricky and Lucy.
Yeah.
And that's true. But I didn't know what changed with reruns. Okay.
I also didn't realize, and I know you know this for sure, that when Lucille Ball came back with the Lucy show, she brought back Vivian Vance as her friend, her divorced friend. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time in television that there had been a divorced character in a series.
I really didn't, maybe it just didn't dawn on me or something.
Yeah.
I didn't think much about the background of these two. I just thought about, well, here they are again. And, it's not Lucy and Ethel. It was Lucille and Viv, I think it was. I did watch that show.
Yeah.
I was not as devoted.
It wasn't as good.
I was not a disciple.
Oh, no, it wasn't as good. It was...
Nothing was ever... this is the problem when you do some really big damn deal thing. It's almost like you have to compete with yourself and you can never quite best it. And I think that's what it was with I Love Lucy. There was just nothing like it.
No, and it was a little sad that the comedy writing just kind of kept going downhill year after year when here's Lucy and the Lucy show, and they kept changing... And each new variant became less and less funny, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, it's like it was the husband and wife dynamic where she was scatterbrained and nuts, but great imagination, very resourceful woman, knew what she wanted to get into show business, and she drove Ricky crazy, who wasn't show business and never wanted to see her on a stage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My favorite
tension was gone.
My favorite show of all time when I was a kid was Leave It to Beaver. And I remember one time I wasn't feeling that great. And my parents told me, well, go lay down. We'll wake you up for Leave It to Beaver. And I finally woke up late at night and I was furious with my parents for letting me sleep through Leave It to Beaver. They let me sleep right through it. And I was just appalled. It was the first... real time my parents totally let me down was letting me sleep through Leave It to Beaver.
Listen, if that's the worst thing that happens to you, I love you.
I know.
I like Leave It to Beaver. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was interesting. I don't think there was ever a moment, though, when I decided, when I grow up, I'm going to vacuum the house with pearls.
I know. Well, you would more identify with Barbara Billingsley. I identified with Beaver, of course. So
yeah,
that was
the
thing.
I guess.
In 1957, Leave It to Beaver became the first TV show to show even part of a toilet.
I don't remember this, because probably she was cleaning it. I don't think I identified with it.
No, it had something to do. It had something to do with the kids hiding something in the tank. The tank in the back. They didn't show the bottom part where you do your business. They showed the top part, and I think they were trying to hide something in there. But it was the first time, standards and practices had allowed someone to see a toilet on TV.
Yeah. Well, back to I Love Lucy, they couldn't say pregnant when she was. They had to say she was expecting a baby, I think.
And they couldn't have the beds together.
That's right. So,
Did you know on the Dick Van Dyke Show, did you realize that it was originally going to be the Johnny Carson show?
I did not know that. When you sent me this piece I read, I thought, what? I didn't even know Johnny Carson acted. Or was this just, let's use him because he's popular and he's funny and we'll figure it out in terms of his acting?
Yeah. I recently saw on, I believe it was... Amazon Prime, I saw the pilot for the Dick Van Dyke Show, and I was surprised to see that Dick was played by Carl Reiner, and he was Rob Petrie. Petrie, and Laura Petrie, they were calling her Lori Petrie, and she was played by some actress I never saw before, and there was a little boy, and the whole thing was there, but it was a completely different cast with Carl Reiner at the helm, which is so odd.
Yeah, I may have heard that. I don't recall it. Again, I watched the Dick Van Dyke Show. I loved Rosemarie. I thought she was with the little bow, with the little clip-on bow in her hair.
Speaking of Rosemarie, there's a great documentary about her life on Amazon Prime called Wait for Your Laugh. If you ever get a chance to see it, it is funny and it is just very entertaining. So check it out. Wait for Your Laugh, Rosemary's Life Story. The other thing was interesting on the Dick Van Dyke Show. In 1963, they were the first to portray a black couple living a middle-class suburban life.
Really?
Yeah, in the past, all black characters had been sort of, you know, servants or something.
Horrible, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this was the first time that we got to see an African-American couple that were living a nice middle-class life in the suburbs of America, which is kind of great. Now, did you watch The Munsters? Did you ever see The Munsters?
Here and there. I was more into if I was going to watch some monster format, it was going to be a really, really old, so old it was almost funny, Frankenstein movie or Dracula movie.
Those scared me too much. I liked the Addams Family, too, and they were both, the Munsters and the Addams Family both ran at the same time for the same 2 years, and they were almost the same show.
The
most bizarre coincidence. Yeah. That was the Munsters, I think. Yeah. And Grandpa Munster.
I know, that was the Addams Family.
The interesting fact I have here is that Al Lewis, who played Grandpa on the Munsters, was only 41 when the show premiered, making him about the same age as Yvonne DiCarlo, which...
Wow.
Would have been his daughter. So
that's, you know what? And that's even funnier to us now at this age. But if we were kids watching this, we would have thought, 41?
He's so old.
All grandpas are 41.
Did you know that the Rose Parade was the very first thing to be broadcast live in color, coast to coast?
I didn't. And you know what I thought it was? I thought the first production, well, maybe it wasn't live. Maybe that was, I don't remember. Do you remember when Mary Martin did Peter Pan?
Yes.
It was a stage production. And I thought that was the first color production, but I don't know if they mean pre-recorded or live. And I'm guessing, I don't know if Peter Pan was pre-recorded or not, but you know, in those days.
No, I think it was live. I think it was
a live
show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I met, Mary Martin one time for an interview and got her to sign a Peter Pan album, which still have somewhere.
We went over to a friend's house and the friend's husband worked, I think he had a TV store or something. So they were the first people that we knew who had a color TV.
I was going to ask you.
Right. And I was little and it was late. So the kids were all there like in their pajamas and bathrobes with coats over them to go, you know, I forget what time of year it was. So whether we had coats or not, I guess was depending on the weather, we all watched and it was great fun. We were all in their living room around one TV.
Do you remember what your first impression of color TV was?
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was like
it was so real,
so dazzling, and so beautiful.
Yeah. I thought, I hope we're rich enough someday to own one of these.
No, it took us a long time. We would go visit my aunt who had one eventually.
Yes.
And all I wanted to do was play with the color controls.
Of course.
You know, turn the greens up, turn the blues. You know, I love to do that.
I know. Can you imagine being the only person in the family or in the group, maybe a family especially, who had the color TV? And if something special was coming on, like a Super Bowl or a parade or something, or Peter Pan production, and it's like, here they will come at the door, pretend you're not
Yes,
home,
everybody, you know? Everybody wants a piece of you, right?
That would
right?
be tempting sometimes, because here they all come. I got a vacuum, you know, get out the potato chips. I don't know.
Speaking of color, The Jetsons was the first TV show to broadcast in color on ABC. That was in 1962. That was a full show. Like the Rose Parade was a one-time shot, but then by The Jetsons really came along and they were the first time that people watched.
I liked the Flintstones, and I was pretty devoted to the Flintstones when they first started.
Me too. I love
the Flintstones. But I didn't really watch the Jetsons all that much.
I love the futuristic element of the Jetsons. I loved TV screens and all that technology and stuff like that. Our other story today, a Boy Scout troop created a hug booth for nursing home residents who couldn't touch their loved ones. This item from CNN. I thought this was pretty great. Now, I've heard of this kind of an idea before, where they create a plastic wall and then you can reach through and stuff. But to build something that's sort of permanent enough that could be that could go into nursing homes, and they built several of them, these Boy Scouts. So much time has passed; it seems like you need to get creative, and that's what these Boy Scouts have done. They said, this isn't good enough. And standing outside a glass window and waving for an entire year is not adequate.
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. I think it's a brilliant idea. And I think more people really need to sort of get some money behind this.
Yeah, I was going to say, write to Bill Gates.
Write to Bill Gates.
But I think it would be a good thing, and not just in the fancy homes, but I think certainly even in nursing homes. I don't know. I mean, you know, you've got to have the space for it, and you've got to be able to do it in time. But I think it's a good idea, as I said, because isolation can really, I would think isolation is really harder for some people than others, and I would think it's harder for all of the people when you're even older, because you think, you know, how much time have I got left? I don't want to spend it just looking at the four walls or TV or, you know.
Well, we're about out of time, but you know what we do in the end of every show? We always have to find out what Susan's thought for the day is. So what are you thinking about this week?
I'm thinking of a much, much cheaper version of the Bernie Sanders doll without having to buy Prime.
Oh, my God. Okay, so
I'll tell you what I want, because I'm eminently practical now. As I get older, I'm thinking, I don't want something sitting around. If I'm just going to look at it, it's going to be cute, and then I'm not going to use it. Yeah. I would get a Bernie, a picture of that on a mug, a coffee mug.
Okay. So
I would do that.
So how
so is if the, you hear of that,
okay, so put that in the form of a thought for the day.
Oh, a thought for the day. I want a coffee mug with Bernie and his mittens. I want a mitten mug.
Good enough. Okay. All right. Okay.
That's and make it big enough.
Let me stick it back in again.
You need some help there, Grandpa?
What I need is some chewing gum. I need to stick it in there with some chewing gum or something like that. There we go. Now it's stuck. I shoved it way down into my ear canal.
By the way, you know what? When you turn to the side, I just realized, because with your little gray hairs and everything, it's very distinguished. Do you know who you look like a little bit? I bet you've been told this.
Who?
You look a little like Mitt Romney.
Well, that's a compliment. I don't mind looking. He's a decent looking.
He's a good looking
Republican,
man.
But he's a No, that's okay.
We don't do politics. I'm not saying. I'm just saying the resemblance is there. I see it. Okay.
All right. With that thought, we'll have to say goodbye. We thank you for joining us today on Older and Wiser. Remember, for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, visit us at olderandwiser.com.
We'll
see you next time. Yeah, wash your hands. See you next time.
Or put the mittens on.
Bye bye.